and welcome to the roundup on Geeks of Doom. This is the show where we tell you a little bit about movies, music, what's going on geeksofdoom.com, and what's going on down at the Drill Down podcast and Social Blend podcast. My name is Andy Cersini. I'm often known as Mr. Baby Man amongst my social network circles, and I'm here with Greg Davies, who is known as CGT2099 amongst his social network circles. How you doing, Greg?
I'm a little confused.
Are you?
Well, not too confused. I'm a little concerned about my well-being because I just started.
Are you a Patriots fan?
No, I just started watching Breaking Bad.
Oh,
I've never seen it before, and I'm
oh,
like 10 minutes
gosh.
Into the first episode.
Holy!
So, I think I've found a new addiction, and I'm not sure whether I want another addiction yet or not. But anyway, you get that.
You are in for a treat, my friend. It is a great, you know, you start getting into it and you're like, oh, okay, I don't know. Yeah, believe me, the main character of that show, I don't want to say Hal, but I think that's the name of the character he used to play on the show Malcolm in the Middle. No, his character on this show is what's his name?
I'm not entirely sure. Like I said, I'm only like 10 minutes in it. Is it Walter or
Walter? Walter White.
Yeah.
So his character Walter White goes through just this incredible character arc, and you will see him go from one extreme to another, and it is amazing and delicious to watch. You're in for quite a treat. I envy the experience that you're about to have.
I think that's one of the things I really like about Netflix streaming, and because, like, with me not having a television, I can try and be patient and wait for a series to get through that first hurdle of a single season, and if it's good enough to come back for a second and a third season, by the time I get to it, you can watch it as a whole product,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a week to week thing. So. But there you go. That's what I've just started doing today. And, you know, it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday as we record this, and the Giants have just won the Super Bowl. Oh.
Have they?
Should I not have said that out loud?
I don't know. I don't care.
Anyone who's hearing this already knows this is history.
Well,
so.
I don't really care about the Super Bowl. The only thing I care about the Super Bowl are the movie trailers, and there was only one that really grabbed my attention this week, and that was the Avengers, which is up at Geeks of Doom, by the way.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, we'll have a link to that in the show notes for people if they haven't seen it yet. That was the only one that really grabbed my attention. Now, did you watch I don't watch it at all, but did you watch the halftime?
I think I taped it, but I did not watch it. I understand it was Madonna and she brought in a whole bunch of, like, guests.
Now, I'm just trying to find the post. Jay put something up on Facebook as I was doing some stuff earlier on. And he posted, now this is what he said. According to the statement just made by the NFL during a certain game, I cannot indicate without express written permission that I may not make any descriptions or talk about a certain game or we all might get sued.
Well, it's true. You can't even. Do you know that you need permission to say? Wait, did I say Super Bowl? I think you need permission to say that in an advertisement. You need, like, commercials. Well, if you see any commercials for the Super Bowl, they will always refer to the Super Bowl as the big game. They will never call it the Super Bowl.
Now, let me. So basically, we can't put this episode of the Roundup up and say the Geeks of Doom Roundup Super Bowl edition.
No, no. We could. I don't think we can do that. No,
no.
We can call it the Big Game Edition.
Can we call it the Geeks of Doom Roundup Fuck You Super Bowl?
Yes, we can. I'm sure.
I think that would be more appropriate. That would be more along my lines of attitude. But anyway, I mean, if anyone. You know, the Super Bowl's not for me, but I tell you what, out of our listeners out there, I'm sure there's at least a few of you out there that do enjoy it. I hope you did it, did enjoy the big game this year, mm-hmm. and, you know, that everything was up to your expectations. I know For half of you, it wasn't. So, but there you go. But what we're going to do tonight on the roundup actually has absolutely nothing to do with the big game.
Not really, no.
we've kind of avoided it, which is really cool. And I've got a trailer for you. And when I told you what this trailer was, wanted to share, you were like, "I'm going to have to close my eyes and put my earplugs in because I don't want to see it until I actually see the movie itself."
Yes.
And I saw this trailer last week, just before we did Social Blend, and I was blown away by it. Now, it's a new movie called God Bless America, by written and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, who is a hero from my youth.
Yes.
And, you know, he is just absolutely brilliant. I know there's some young chaps out there that have never heard of him, but just do a YouTube search for Bobcat Goldthwait.
He was a former stand-up comic. And and has since become a filmmaker, and I don't know anything about this movie, but the last movie he did, I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was with Robin Williams,
and
it was a hilarious dark comedy about a man whose son commits suicide, and he ends up, I think, writing the suicide note. I do remember this.
Yes. Okay. I'm just trying to find the.
He doesn't commit suicide. He asphyxiates himself in a sexual through self satisfaction, sexual
autoerotic
asphyxiation.
Yeah.
Right.
The movie's called World's Greatest Dad. And
yes.
My favorite
movie. Hilarious.
So, yeah. Absolutely great. But this one looks like it's going to take the cake, I'm afraid. I mean, it's the thing about Bobcat is that he has the same kind of ability that Mike Judge has, in the sense that he can look at what's going on in modern day society and lampoon it up and amplify it within the context of a movie, so that it's at a level of ridiculousness, but at the same time, it's not too far away from the truth, so that you can recognize what he's actually trying to say as part of a social commentary. And this particular movie is of no exception. It's very much like that, very much in his vein of humor. The experts around the world are going to call it dark comedy because, well, I mean, let's face it, that just makes them feel better after they watch it. This looks fantastic. Essentially, it's the story of a man who is dying. He's got cancer, and he is sick and tired of what passes for acceptability and pop culture in modern American society, and that's the premise of it right there. And from that point, it takes on a completely different shape altogether, but it's wonderful. And I can't wait to look for it. And the cool thing about this one, Andy, is that it was already released, I think, at Sundance last year. So it's been sitting around for a while, but it's actually going to be released on instant streaming first, online on demand first, before it has a limited theatrical run. Which is really unique, and I think it's a thumbs up to Bobcat Goldthwait for embracing the new technology. Although I will admit, this is a movie that I would actually love to see with friends in the theater, just for the experience of the laughs alone. So enough of my rambling. This is what you're going to hear is the sound clip from the Red Band trailer of God Bless America.
The most hilarious ringtone ever. Just text P-I-G.
God is bad.
We have a press that just gives them a free pass.
The boys were caught after setting the homeless man on fire.
Did you mother poop in my booth?
What?
You pooped!
A tumor this size is very dangerous. Do you have any family? Oh, gotta take this.
My name is Chloe. I live in Virginia Beach, and everyone loves me because I'm so pretty.
I wanted an Escalade! This is the biggest day of my life, and you're f***ed up, Daddy!
Hey, Chris.
Isn't the schoolgirl thing a little played out?
Don't move and don't make a sound.
If you want the car, just take it. My parents got me the wrong one anyways.
Yeah, that's a fucking tragedy.
Did you just kill Chloe? Awesome. That was a fantastic start.
But who else really rips my cock off?
The Kardashians?
People who use rock star as an adjective.
Women who call their tits the girls.
Anyone who wears crystals.
You're aiming at the bear, right?
This is the best day ever!
Frank, don't. Let me.
I'm recording this.
Thanks for turning off your cell phone.
You're welcome.
Why have a civilization if we're no longer interested in being civilized?
Hey, buddy. What's wrong?
A lot
of crazy people out there.
I only want to kill people who deserve to die.
We gonna do this or what?
I know it's not normal to want to kill, but I am no longer normal.
You really gotta take both those spots?
Yeah. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll have to take your word for how good that is, because I took my headphones off and I squinted until I could just see the progress bar, and that's how I knew that the clip was done. So it was everything that you hoped it would be, the trailer.
Well, of course, but you know, obviously it's going to come down to everything you hope the movie to be.
Yes,
you go and see it.
I'm definitely going to see it. That's why I wanted to. You know.
It's interesting time of the year that they selected to put this out, April, because April is kind of like, it's just before this big blockbuster summer season. Yeah. So it's like the appetizer of the buffet that you're going to for the summer blockbusters, you know. So this is what they're dishing out to, like, get your gullet flowing, if you will. Get the taste buds running before the blockbusters come out. So I found that kind of an interesting selection for when it was coming out. I'm not sure if Bobcat recognizes the irony in that selection of date as much as what I do. But you know, there you go. But it's coming out in April. God bless America. And this is totally a movie I could get behind.
Awesome.
There you go.
I can't wait.
And on the other side of the coin, we've got some music for you tonight. And Andy has got an interesting selection, which is actually, you can hear it, but that's only going to be part of the experience,
yes.
Isn't it, Andy? You really need to kind of see this video for itself. And we'll have this embedded in the show notes. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, if you were to say that description about any sort of music video, And I didn't know what band you were talking about, I would immediately think of the first band that would come to mind would be OK Go, because they are the official band of the music is good, but you got to see the video. And this is certainly no exception. This is a brand new song of theirs called Needing Getting. And it's a good song. It's a really catchy tune. But like most of their music, the video almost surpasses the music itself. It definitely adds, it's almost like an entire experience. You can't just listen to the music. You kind of got to see the video too. But the only way I can describe this is they've done a tie-in with Chevy Sonic, and so it is kind of a product tie-in. But what they've chosen to do with it is pretty amazing. They've taken a Chevy Sonic and they've created a driving track where when they drive down the track, they have a bunch of instruments set up at specific spaces and locations that will create a song as they're driving by. The Sonic has little protrusions coming out that hit abandoned pianos, old pianos, and plastic drums,
and guitars,
and cymbals, and it's supposedly it's none of it's faked. which is the most amazing thing. In fact, I'll read a little description from the YouTube description itself. OK Go set up over 1,000 instruments over 2 miles of desert outside Los Angeles. A Chevy Sonic was outfitted with retractable pneumatic arms designed to play the instruments, and the band recorded this version of the song, singing as they played the instrument array with the car. The video took 4 months of preparation and 4 days of shooting and recording. There are no ringers or stand-ins. The Damien, the guy who's behind the wheel, actually took stunt driving lessons. Each piano set up had the lowest octaves tuned to the same note so that they played the right note no matter where they were struck. It's just amazing. I don't want to belabor it too much. Let's take a listen to a little snip of OK Go's Needing Getting, and you'll have to see the video when we have it embedded in the show notes. Couple minutes of OK Go's Needing Getting, and you can accuse them of being corporate shills because essentially it's a big commercial for the Chevy Sonic, but you have to admit that that what they do in their videos, regardless of who's paying for them, is some of the most inventive stuff I've ever seen in music videos. Like, the you remember the one that they set up, that whole Rube Goldberg device, that video where they had all that gadget that would, cascade and...
Oh, yes. I do know what you're talking
that,
about.
That video was sponsored by State Farm, I think, or Allstate, one of those two. They are sponsored, but they do incredible things with these videos. The money that the sponsors give them allow them to do something that you've never seen before in music videos. So, that's essentially the way commerce works these days. So, regardless of who's sponsoring them, it's pretty neat what they've done with it. So, you'll definitely have to check that out in the show notes because it's worth the look.
Well, even if you're not a fan of OK Go, the very least you could say is that they do put out interesting videos.
Yeah.
You know, that much can be said. Ever since they kind of went viral with the treadmill video.
Yep.
They did. You know, they've always continued kind of along the same lines as like Weezer have done with some of their videos.
Right.
They've tried to capture elements of internet culture, and they're certainly doing the whole social media thing right. I mean, according to everything I read about this particular video, they were the ones that actually sought out Chevrolet to see if they wanted to be a part of this video.
Smart.
So as opposed to the big corporation seeking a band to advertise their stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it looks like they're doing this one right. So it's a good gig for them, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the articles that you have found this week on Geeks of Doom, Greg.
Oh, yes. I was jumping ahead of myself. I was looking at the wrong page. Well, one of the big things that grabbed a lot of people's attention this week is on the comic book side of things, in posts from both Empress Eve and MK2 Fact 3, there has been the official announcement this week from DC Comics that they're doing a prequel comic book series for The Watchmen called Before Watchmen.
I don't know how I feel about this. I'm so conflicted because...
I'm exactly the same position that you're in. Now, let me tell you what is going to be awesome. I want to focus on the awesome stuff first. Okay.
Make me feel better about this move.
Okay. There. To give you an overview, instead of it being like a single graphic novel or, a series of specific Watchmen issues... They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 series coming out, up to 6 issues each, some of them 4 each. One is for Rorschach, one is for the Minutemen, one is for the Comedian, one's for Dr. Manhattan, one's for Night Owl, one is for Ozymandias, and the other is for Silk Spectre. Now, that might sound a little bit like overkill, but remember, this is DC trying to earn a buck here. They're trying to, you know, make this a profitable venture for themselves. Sure. I'll personally be waiting for the graphic novel. Now, the good bit is the Rorschach 4-issue limited series and the Comedian 6-issue limited series is written by Brian Azzarello. Now, Brian Azzarello, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the name, but I am. And I think it's Lee Bermejo who did the art on the Rorschach comic as well. They did a graphic novel a couple of years ago called The Joker, and it's of the Joker from the Batman series, but it was set in like an alternate universe where it was a cross between what you're familiar with in Batman comics, but also the ultra realistic universe that Christopher Nolan had created. So the Joker was like, you know, he had his green hair and he had the comic book, you know, purple outfit and everything. Yeah. But he had the Glasgow smile that he has with the slit mouth in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And all of the characters that get introduced in that are like Killer Croc and the Riddler are specifically designed to look like what they might appear like if they were introduced into a Christopher Nolan Batman film.
Interesting.
And the story is incredibly dark, incredibly insane, and it's just such a wonderful read. And to see that the man, Brian Azzarello, who dared to look into the madness that was the Joker, is taking on both Rorschach and the Comedian
is
highly encouraging to me because...
Both of them are very dark characters.
Yes. They're the two comic books that I'm actually looking forward to, and I think they would do quite well in terms of paying tribute to the work that Alan Moore came up with all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
As for the other ones, well, they look like shit.
Well, see, the problem that I have with the whole concept is Watchmen is... hands down, my favorite graphic novel of all time. And it was a formative part of my growing up. And, you know, years before there was ever a movie, I had made the movie in my head. And so even when they adapted the movie and I saw the movie, as happy I was at the fact that it was made and that Zack Snyder, thank you, that he was so faithful to the comic book, literally faithful to the comic book, it fell short of my expectations, as anything would, I think, because when you build up the expectations so much in your mind. So the fact
I loved the movie. I thought the movie was superb. I mean, does it eclipse the graphic novel? Well, no, of course it doesn't. Right. There's no reason to think that it would. But the entire purpose behind the movie was to try and stay as true to the graphic novel as possible, with the knowledge that there was no way in the world that you were going to eclipse that. I give credit where credit is due, and it's Zack Snyder's love letter to Alan Moore, and essentially, when you look at it. But nothing will ever beat the very first time you read Watchmen.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that can take away from that experience. So while I can see some validity with, say, expanding the story of, say, Rorschach, for example, because he's such an very dark character that would probably bear a bit more exploration, as a character. And I suppose some people could put that argument forward for the second Night Owl, who you didn't really get to see too much of him as a superhero per se in Watchmen. You just saw him as kind of like this bloated, retired, man with degraded confidence. So while there is an argument for that, is there any need to have a prequel for Citizen Kane?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, is there any need to have a prequel for Gone with the Wind?
Well, see, this is exactly the way I feel about Watchmen, is that, somebody did write a sequel to Gone with the Wind. Somebody did create a TV series out of Casablanca. There have been situations where they've essentially screwed with these hallowed classics, and the reason that you don't remember the sequel to Gone with the Wind or the TV series of Casablanca is because they were.
I remember the sequel to Gone with the Wind because it was originally published as a novel, and it was highly praised when it came out. But when they adapted it to be a television series or miniseries or whatever, people weren't too impressed.
Right. It just didn't. It never lived up to the original, unfortunately. And so, I'm done.
I think there are some characters that may have some merit. I would like to see. I would especially like to see what Brian Azzarello does with Rorschach and the comedian, because the comedian is not a nice guy at all. I'd very much like to see where he's going to take those two characters. Mm-hmm. It's intriguing that they've attached his name to that to me. But for everything else, it just feels and sounds like unnecessary filler material. I suppose you could also argue that Minutemen would be a valid prequel because that tells the story of the first group.
Oh, for sure.
But that's to expand on the other areas. Who gives a fuck about Silk Spectre? Really? Do you want to read more issues about Silk Spectre?
I'm sure that there's an audience out there for that.
What about Ozymandias? Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's literary masturbation. You could obviously write tomes about any of these characters. The characters themselves have such a lasting legacy that are so rich that you could write tons and tons about them. You could do all sorts of,
But Andy, Dr. Manhattan, I mean, we learned all we needed to know.
I mean, that's the question, is that why would you want to is the question, really.
Yeah, it's, well, obviously, because it's a money-making scheme. Essentially, I mean, aside from Rorschach and Comedian, which I could see value in because of the writer that's attached to those two extremely dark characters, I cannot see any value in the other comic books they're going to put out, essentially because... It's just going to amount to fan fiction. Nothing is going to touch Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons.
You know what's funny about this whole conversation is that now you're going to, after my stance on this, you're going to call me a total hypocrite for my Geeks of Doom story.
Well, you could also call me a hypocrite because I've been a long defender of the Star Wars prequels. You know, but so essentially what it's going to come down to is perception. I mean, there's going to be some folks out there that enjoy it, and there's going to be some folks out there that don't enjoy it. And the sad thing about it is that the people that don't enjoy it are going to be the most vocal about it. And so it's going to be several years before we even get an indication of what the younger kids that might be reading these comics and what they might truly think of them as comics as they're growing up. But that aside, it's an interesting article that you've chosen from Geeks of Doom.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, we had this conversation about how hallowed these classics are and how much I'm not looking forward to seeing, you know, a sequel or a prequel. Well, one of my all-time favorite movies is Blade Runner, Ridley Scott's 1982 science fiction film, Blade Runner, with Harrison Ford and Sean Young. About Harrison Ford, you know, he's a replicant hunter, a police detective who's a replicant hunter, and these replicants are roaming around future L.A., you know, basically...
Androids for the uninitiated.
Yes. If you haven't seen the movie, it's absolutely a must-see. Well, back in March last year, the company that owned the rights to the Blade Runner property announced that they are going to make prequels and sequels to the film. And when that news first came out, I really cringed, and I felt exactly the way I felt about, you know, a sequel to Gone with the Wind or a sequel to Casablanca or Citizen Kane. And then in August, later on that year, news came out that Ridley Scott was going to be directing the sequel. And that is, you know, he was the director of the original one. And I'm like, okay, I am okay with the idea of Ridley Scott directing a sequel, because he's basically not going to screw up his own franchise that he created. But then everyone who reported on this story also reported that there's no way that Harrison Ford was going to come back to be in the sequel, because basically he hated being in the original one. It was one of his worst experiences, and he disassociated himself from the film entirely. You'll never hear him talk about Blade Runner. Well, news what came back this week, and it's actually been reported on geeksofdoom.com. You'll see we'll put the link to the article, that Harrison Ford is in early talks to be in the new film. So things are getting really interesting. We still don't know if it's going to be a prequel or a sequel. Most likely it'll be a sequel if he's going to be involved. And
well, the quote from the producer there in the article says that it's a total reinvention, which I'm assuming refers to it being to some kind of reboot or remake. So I'm not exactly sure what direction. It's not entirely clear what direction they're going to go with this.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of reminds me about what's going on with The Evil Dead. The Evil Dead this year or next year is coming out, and it's the way Sam Raimi has described it. He's the original director from all three Evil Dead movies. Is that yes, it is a reboot and a remake at the same time, but it also continues the story. It's sort of like it's almost as if it's just the story is told in another universe, if you will. Bruce Campbell has been signed on, and he's associated with the movie, but they're keeping it very, secretive as to what his role is going to be. I doubt he's going to show up as Ash, but then again, he may do that towards the end of the film, you know. So right, it could right, well right. be something along those lines, you know.
Well, you know, I think Eve, who wrote this story up for Geeks of Doom, her speculation is that it could be that he is going to be in it for just a cameo. And I think that would be appropriate. I think it would be appropriate for him to be not the main focus of the movie, but maybe show up as a cameo. We get to see a little bit about what happened to Rick Deckard, you know, 30 or 40 years on from the events in Blade Runner, and have it, you know, just have him be part of the universe, give his blessing, as it were, to the film. So I think that's I would be okay with that. Of course, that is assuming that the sequel itself is going to be a quality product. So we're going to have words out still on that, since it hasn't been, you know, made, but we'll find out when the whole thing goes down. If anybody even cares about Blade Runner by that time. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a core group of people who are like me, who are fans of the original film, but what are modern audiences, you know, the demographic who didn't grow up with obsessing over Blade Runner, what are they going to think about this new sequel? Who knows?
It's so hard to say, really, when you think about it, because with something like Blade Runner that I look at with some reverence, if there was anyone that's going to helm a remake of that, then I think it would be fitting that it would be the guy that was originally behind it.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. But however, if you look at like another example, Fright Night, I thought the remake of that in totally different hands was wonderfully superior over the original.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to say, you know, how these things are going to turn out. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether it's an original concept or a remake or not. You know, what it comes down to is, is it a good quality film?
Right. Right.
And, you know, that's what it comes down to at the end. Or even better, do you enjoy it?
Right.
In its most simplest terms, you know.
Right. So, Greg, tell us what's going on down this week at Social Blend.
Well, in the previous episode of Social Blend, we had musician Corey Kaler with us, and I wanted to tell you about a new project he's got going, which is really, really cool. He is doing a new project with his music where he's putting out the music. He's putting out a song a month on the first of each month on his website. And basically, he's putting it up there very much in the same way as like Radiohead did with their In Rainbows album, which is basically, you know, pay for it if you want, you know, or take it for free. That's cool. If you think it's worth a couple of bucks or maybe more, you know, thank you so much, which I think is a really cool project to do. It's getting these... just getting his music out there, which is fantastic. And the song that he put out for this month is called Why Wait, and we previewed it at the end of the show. We also talked about a lot of the regular things that we usually talk about on Social Blend, but we had a wonderful little focus on the circus act of American Idol X called Election 2012 with the Republican debates and stuff like that. But for this week, we're going to have another regular show where we are going to continue our coverage on what we're calling the war on the internet. We're going to look specifically this week at PCEIP, which is the HR 1981 bill that's being put up by Lamar Smith. It's been called the Protecting Children from Internet Pornography Act, but essentially what it is, it's going to force ISPs to keep a running log of what you access on the web. We're also going to take a look at the Canadian version of SOPA called C11 and continue our coverage on what's going on with ACTA, which is causing much discomfort over in Europe and many, many protests around in Europe, and so we'll continue our coverage with that, as well as some of the big news that's grabbed our attention at geeksofdoom.com as well. And what about the drill down, Andy?
Well, the drill down is going to we're going to talk a little bit about Avid is basically the software that professional editors use in basically all the Hollywood studios and TV shows, and they are bringing a version of their video editing software to the iPad, which is actually kind of quietly revolutionary, because what a lot of people aren't aware of behind the scenes there is that Avid has had a little rivalry with Apple's own video editing software, Final Cut Pro, and recently Final Cut Pro revamped their their software and made it essentially unusable for professional filmmakers. So the fact that Avid is creating a prosumer version of their video editing software and offering it on the iPad is a little bit of a thumb in the face of Apple, saying not only are we going to eat your lunch, but we're going to eat it on your own device. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about a preview of Windows Phone 8. A bit has been leaked about Windows Phone 8, so we're going to get to see a bit about that. And there was a Super Bowl ad that we're going to talk about also from Best Buy that featured some of the inventors of cell phone and app devices. And it was in quite an unusual Super Bowl ad. So we're going to talk about that. And also, lastly, we are going to talk about privacy and social privacy and personalized search on the internet. So a little bit of that too. And also some of the stuff that we're going to talk about has not happened yet as we try and get our links as late as possible. So before we go on, and that's going to be our show.
Andy, I just want to ask you as well, the current episode of The Drill Down that's available online, both at thedrilldown.com and geeksofdoom.com. You guys covered the Facebook IPO.
Yes.
On that, what are your quick thoughts on that?
Well, I think Mark Zuckerberg is going to be very rich, as are a good number of the friends that he had invest in the company in its early stages, and the jury is still out on everybody else on whether or not that's going to be a sound investment. I think in the long run, it'll certainly be a sound investment because we discovered this week that 85% of Facebook's revenue comes from ads. And I don't think that's going to slow down at all. So if you have the money to invest in Facebook, it's a solid, sound investment because most of it's coming from ad sales. And that's still pretty strong and lucrative market. What do you think?
I don't really care. I had a look at it. We did talk about it on Social Blend just last week because it was, as you're aware, we record on the same night, so it was fresh news at the time, and it was interesting reading the some of the factoids that came out from it, like with the how much percentage of Facebook, Zuckerberg officially owns, how much 28%. Everything is worth and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, I think the general consensus that we had on the podcast is, here we go, because you know that the tech media is not going to shut up about this for several weeks, maybe even several months.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just one of those things that is going to be an ongoing thing. So we were kind of because when you're interested in tech news, you want to see the newest and the freshest and what's going to revolutionize things. This is one of those news bits that you already know is going to become stale as soon as it's out there, and so it's one of those things that's just going to keep on coming up and is really of no major interest to the boots on the ground, if you will, the people that actually use Facebook. It's more, I think it's going to be of more interest to people who can actually afford to buy stocks.
Right. So for me, completely useless because I can't afford to buy stocks. I can't afford to invest in Facebook.
And who would want to own a bit of Facebook anyway? I mean, really, it could go
balls up like Yahoo. So,
and well, yes, and MySpace as well.
Right,
it's quite possible that Facebook may not have reached its peak yet, and it could well plummet.
Yep. So we never know. We don't know. But, we're not experts at stock advice. We say that you should absolutely consult an expert if you really are interested in
investing. I'm an expert, but I'm not telling you shit.
There you go. And I think that about wraps it up for this episode of The Roundup.
I think you're right. And where can people check out The Drill Down, Andy?
Well, I'm going to tell people to direct their browsers to geeksofdoom.com. And that's where they can find The Drill Down from now on, live on Wednesday evenings when we go live via Ustream. And then after that live, I mean, the recorded version will be hosted on Geeks of Doom on Friday of that same week.
And Social Blend will be up at social-blend.com. We'll have the show out on Thursday. We record Wednesday nights. So just in time for your Thursday morning commute or, you know, while you're at work, if you want to annoy your co-workers with me saying words like fuck, shit, ass, and all that stuff, right. Then, yeah, check it out on Thursday because, you know, we like to swear a lot.
All right.
That's what the show's all about. Yeah. It's about as, swearing.
As noted by our sign-off.
Yes, indeed. And we'll jump off with that right now. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Geeks of Doom Roundup.
Dilly-gaff. Yeah.